My next guest and I go back a long way to the 50s. In fact, Lydia Bastianich and her many restaurants, cookbooks, television specials, even travel guides have won her fans around the world. We're both from Astoria, Queens. Her latest cookbook is Lydia Cooks from the Heart of Italy. And it brings her and her mother, Erminia Motica, to the Leonard Lopate Show today. Welcome.
Ah, thank you for having us, Chris.
Thank you
it's
so much.
It's great being with you.
For coming. It's so great to see you always. I see you once in a while, but we kind of grew up together in Queens.
We did.
Lydia, you worked. Let
me tell you, I started at Watkins Bakery. Now, yeah. Watkins Bakery, Broadway in Astoria, and we were immigrants. I came in 1958 as an immigrant and started, of course, going to school. But to make a little extra money, I wanted to work on weekends. And Watkins Bakery was right across the street. We lived on 31st Street there. And so I went in because, I loved food. I always loved food. So I sort of gravitated and sweets, of course, as a young girl, I loved. And I went in, but I couldn't be hired until 16. I was only 14. I was a big girl. So I lied to your father to pull.
Like the army.
I lied. And he took me on. And there, going to school Saturdays and Sundays, Friday nights, Saturdays and Sundays, I would work as a sales girl. I even got, then I got into the back, when Carl, the chef, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. When he was off on Sunday and somebody needed a cake or something, I would go and sort of decorate. So it's great memories. And then in that followed suit that my mother, my mother's a teacher, but she was working in a factory in New Jersey. And as she began learning English, I brought her. And then she worked full time for many years with your mom and dad and the whole.
In the bakery. I used to work there too in the back. And I would deliver cakes.
You did.
Yeah.
I remember, you're good looking now, you were handsome then, so I remember, there were three brothers, three of you. You remember, even on when you closed for vacation, I would come out to Freeport, to the house there, the summer house, water skiing and whatever. I would help your mom, and then in the meantime, I would sort of with you guys. You took me on. You were really kind.
It's so wonderful. I think that here we are, from where we started, here we are sitting here. Isn't it fantastic?
It's
really fantastic.
It's a wonderful
It's such
trip.
A long time, but a wonderful trip.
It's a wonderful trip. I guess from my, I would look at your growth and how you sort of shined in your profession and whatever. And, I know you, I knew you, and I still know you. And it's wonderful to see somebody that, you are friends, really basic. And then all of a sudden they come big as you do in a sense of your profession. And you belong to the world, but still I feel that I knew you then.
Sure. You had two restaurants in Queens, I think, right?
I had two restaurants in Queens.
And, and then you come to New York.
Exactly. 1950.
And you've got three stars for
yeah,
your
yeah the restaurant
the first restaurant
let's see for 10 years this then I got married and so on and began to have a family. We had our first restaurant in Queens in 1971. For 10 years we were in Queens with two restaurants, one in Forest Hills, one in Fresh Meadows. Then we sold those. And we opened Philidia on 58th Street, which is still there. And there I really became a full-fledged chef because, it takes a while to develop. It took me about 10 years to develop, really hone my skills as far as a chef and sort of bring out that passion. I guess the same in acting, in dancing.
Of course.
Yeah.
And, Mom, are you at the restaurant too, Philidia, sometimes?
I sometimes help her to do something.
But I've seen you on the shows, on the cooking shows.
She's calling me always to taste.
You are the judge.
She likes my opinion, yeah.
No, I saw you once. I like celery, and I usually peel it with a peeler. And I saw you break it off and take the strings off. That's a very practical thing. Yeah. And what I like about your television programs is that if you follow the recipe, it works. You know, a lot of cooking shows, they say, well, you put some salt in, and then you put it in the oven, but they don't say you how much or what temperature. But if you follow Lydia's descriptions, it works. I appreciate that very much. I think a lot of cooking shows are not specific enough.
Well, thanks. Thank you. But you are a good cook.
I like to cook, too. But, you know, I'm strictly a home cook. But what I also love is when you go to different places. I've seen programs that you did in Italy.
Yes.
Do you ever go back to your home? Is Pula?
Pula. Now it's Pula. It used to be Pola. You know, that's in the peninsula of Istria, which was given to Yugoslavia after World War II. That's why it became communist. So that's why we sort of went back to Italy as Italians.
You were in a refugee camp.
In Trieste. We sort of escaped.
Both?
Yeah. Yeah. And me, my husband, and the two kids.
Yeah.
They was 14 and 16, 14 and no, she was 12 and my son was 14 and I was around 40.
Yeah.
And we stayed there for about a year and a half until Catholic Relief Service helped us and bring us in
Then
America.
You came to America.
Yeah.
Did you have people here?
I didn't know nobody.
Me
at
too.
All.
You know, my father and mother came to America from Europe when they were adults. And they didn't know anybody. They met here. They were here and they met. And
we didn't know anybody. But you know, I in retrospect, I think back and I think, you know, here is a mother and a father taking their children someplace they don't know, and they know nobody there. And it takes a lot of courage. But America is a grand place.
Absolutely. My parents came to make a good life. They made a great life.
Absolutely.
And you're friends with my mother, who passed away recently, but very old, and she had a great life.
We went to visit her about 4 months ago.
Exactly. Lydia brought my mother food at her house. You live not far away, right?
Well, sure. Your mother lived in Bayside. You grew up in Bayside.
Yeah,
we are in Douglaston Manor, which is not that area.
Yeah. We live together, me and my daughter.
Yeah.
Grandma lives with me. She lives upstairs.
Yeah.
So when she's in the film, she just comes down. And yeah, because the taping, the actual taping is in my kitchen, in my home.
Oh, yeah. That's your real house?
Yeah.
Not a set?
No, not a set. That's my real house.
Have you been back to Pula?
Oh, yes. We go regularly.
To do a show?
I did. I took a crew and we did, you know, because the book before this one was Lydia's Italy. In one of the chapters, the Lydia's Italy and Lydia Cooks from the Heart of Italy, it's the 20 regions of Italy altogether. But one book had 10 regions and the other one, the other 10. And so in the first book, one of the places that I visited was where I came from. And I took the crew and we went. I went to all the places that I was as a little girl, went to the beach and everything. Yeah. was great. But I go back. Now it's democratic, so it's open. So I go back now.
The food from your home, from where you come from, I'm not that familiar with it.
Well,
is it? What sort of accent is it? Italian or?
It's a border cuisine, and it makes it wonderful because if you look at Italy. In the right-hand corner, it's right under Austria, sort of borders Austria.
In the north.
Yes, north borders Austria, and now it's Slovenia, that's Trieste. So it's really the crossover. That place, that whole area was under the Austrian-Hungarians. So we do goulash, we do strudel, we cook with sauerkraut. But we're Italian. So it's I think that, cuisine from borders – really is richer because it encompasses all those ethnicities, all the qualities of those. So, you know, we can cook anything from spetzels to strudels to, of course, spaghetti.
That's the thing about Astoria. And I was back there recently to do an interview. And Astoria was and is this kind of accumulation of different ethnic groups and the food. Mm-hmm. And it always was that. It's gone through different stages, but it still is that, that there's all different kinds of food, great things to buy in the street, the fruit and the vegetables. And
I still go there. I still go there and shop. Yeah. You know, I think when we first came, there were the Germans, the immigrants, the Italians, and the Greeks. And so those were the first immigrants, and they sort of bettered their lives and moved on, although there's still a lot of Greeks and Italians and some Germans. But now there's a lot of Middle Eastern, so there's Egyptian restaurants. It's quite interesting.
Now, on Steinway, you can go and drink coffee and smoke water pipes, you know. Exactly,
the Turkish coffee. You can have all of that. And, you know, I think that's the beauty of other cultures, meeting other cultures at the table, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. You came to see me in Best Foot Forward. That's a long time ago.
You know, we're going to tell. The first thing, your mom, you know, Rosalie, she was fantastic. Yeah. She just loved you to death. And she was that energy after you.
She loved show business.
She loved show business. But Lucille Ball was her friend, wasn't it? I remember that.
She was, you know, she was, she wanted to be in show business.
She was, in her own way, she would come in and she would all be shining and whatever. Now, she took me and the whole crew. You were at Best Foot Forward, was the first Broadway show you did with Liza Minnelli. Liza Minnelli had broken her foot. Do you remember that one?
Yes, yes. 16 years old, Liza.
16 years old was then, huh? It was a great, oh, I just loved it. But then Grandma, too, has a story.
Especially when we had a vacation, she had the ticket ready for all of us, all the sales girls. We was 5, 6, 7 sometime. And she had the car and she dragged us in the city to see her sons, her famous son. Not only that, all the time when you was on the paper, even if it's a little something about you, we have everybody to see and put in the window that the customers see. And she was so great and so lovely lady.
She was so enthusiastic about, she loved show business. I don't know what other word. But, you know, I think you've spoken, Lydia, about the similarity between the theater and restaurant. That there is that performance aspect. And, you know, you make something and then you know immediately whether they like it or not. That's true of theater. It's live.
You know, so a lot of time, you know, great actors like you, you know, you do your film and win Oscars and whatever, but then you long to go to Broadway. You know, that's, and I says that's the same thing like a restaurant.
Well, it's live.
It's the same thing. You get immediate response.
Exactly.
You know from the audience what the feeling is, what are you doing? And I'm sure that you can even sense it when you're up there.
Absolutely.
Right?
And it's also, you know, it's the basic three acts. You know, I always say if I had a cooking show, it would be three acts. Buy the chicken, cook the chicken, eat the chicken.
There you go.
It's basically.
And then, of course, the applause.
Of course. Well, you have people over and they go, that's the best chicken I ever had.
That's music to my ear. That's music. But, you know, I think also, for me, and I'm sure that for you as an actor, is bringing pleasure to people, you know, seeing them enjoy each other, seeing them enjoy the work, you know, and all that you bring to them.
Well, the kitchen, you know, I've always noticed that parties and so on, that they always tend to gravitate to the kitchen. When people are at somebody's house, everything that's interesting seems to end up in the kitchen. And to me, there's something about watching people cook that's just interesting. It's like watching something that you can't resist. Watching people cook is just interesting.
Yeah, because it just evolves and it happens and it grows and it ultimately culminates in this grand finale.
Something that you can eat.
Exactly, that you can all share. That you can all share. Food is way beyond.
Food in the kitchen and the
table. You know, in my show, I get a lot of response and a lot of emails that people really appreciate because, you know, as Grandma said, she lives with me upstairs. My daughter lives 2 blocks away. So my table at the kitchen and where we film is really in my kitchen. So we gather at the table. And the emails that I get is about being at the table together with family. People really long for that.
And you eat regularly together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Uh-huh. Not in the dining room. We are all in the kitchen eating.
Uh-huh.
Nobody wants to go in the dining room.
Sure, I eat in the kitchen.
Speaking
of that, your family, in addition to your mom, your son and daughter?
Yes, yes.
They're involved?
Yes, yes. You know, my son, Joseph, he started on Wall Street and then kind of came back to the industry. And now he's, you know, the family business. It took over a lot of the restaurants with Mario Batali. We have partnerships. Right. And together, I think it's 18 restaurants now. Uh-huh. And a winery, the Bastianich Wines. So he's really into it. My daughter, on the other hand, you know, she's an art historian. She got her PhD from Oxford in Renaissance art history. And when she came back to have her family here because she was in Italy doing her research or whatever, she began to have her children. And then I asked her to begin to help me, you know, to do the research for my book and whatever. And now she does all the research. She works with me. We just came back from – actually, I came back last night on the red eye just to be with you because I did – no, I love it. I love it. But she does the books with me. She's just coming out with a book of her own, Reflection of the Breast, which is and she's doing it with an oncologist, and they're sort of working on it parallel. She takes – the problem of the breast, women's breast cancer, from history in art, in paintings, and he takes the oncologist view and talks about it in sort of medical terms. So it's a wonderful. Do you know
what's her name?
Tanya Manuali Bastianich, and the book is Reflections of the Breast, is coming out in September. Did you know that in the Egyptian times, you know, when they knew that a woman, if she had passed away because of this ailment to the breast, that they would actually kind of a sculpture of the breast, you know, they would put it in the tomb because in the other world she would have a whole new breast. So it's amazing the history. So this is what she does.
They're telling me that I should go to a break and... Okay, now we're speaking with Lydia Bastianich and her mom, and we'll be back in a minute. Chris Walken. I'm here with Lydia Bastianich and her mom, Emenia
Motika,
and I've sort of lost my pages here, but I'm just going to keep talking.
We have lots to talk about.
my mother was a good cook, but only certain things. It's me too. You know, I cook, but I'm pretty good at certain things. My mother made great oxtail.
She did.
You know, people don't make that much.
No.
But oxtail is marvelous.
Do you like them?
Oh, I love oxtail.
Do you make them?
I don't. My mother used to make oxtail.
Why not?
She made the best things. She made was oxtails, and she made great deviled eggs.
Deviled eggs. So if your memory takes you back to mom and you think about mom, those flavors come too?
Yeah, she made pretty good pot roast too with vegetables.
The pot roast, that's she used to bring to the store. I remember that. You remember mom?
Yeah.
She used to bring the whole tray. She really cared for all of, and she, you know, she used to make sure that everybody's, the uniforms were proper, that everybody's, you know, and that's so, so important in a service industry.
The ladies had beautiful starched outfits. I remember they had a machine that sliced the bread.
Yes, yes.
Which always looked very dangerous to me.
No. It just was pretty safe. It was pretty safe.
I used to work in the back, and I washed a lot of pots and pans. But I remember one time, Carl.
Yes.
I would deliver on the weekend wedding cakes. And my father had a very big station wagon, and you remember
station wagon.
Yeah, and they would make these big wedding cakes, which would be in tiers.
Right.
And I remember, I think I had six of them, and I was driving a short way to the catering hall, very slowly down a street, and I saw from between cars a ball. It just bounced, and I knew that behind that ball was a kid. You know?
Sure.
I slammed on the brakes. All the wedding cakes come in the front seat.
I mean, I was
remember
there.
That, though.
You remember
that?
Oh, you were there.
You came back.
You
remember?
I came back.
I was there, sure.
It was the most...
And you was almost crying.
I was. It was one of the most terrible days of my life. I was, and then people were having a wedding, and Carl was great.
Yeah.
He said, okay, calm down. And they took everything, and they kind of put it back together.
Yeah.
But I remember I saw that ball, and I thought, there's a kid.
Yeah, well, you did the right thing.
I hit the
case,
brakes.
The case could be remade.
Six wedding cakes in the front seat.
You were wearing them by then. But I remember in the back, you know, they used to have the driver in the back. You used to pull up with the car and we would sell in the front because that was, and then all the cakes got delivered. Yeah, and there was a lot. I mean, your family had a great business.
Yeah.
But the pastry, the cakes, all the ingredients were great. Good eggs, good butter, and a great following. You know, I remember for years after, sort of, I guess your father and mother retired and moved on and whatever, that people would ask. You know, they sold it, right? And then ultimately, that never worked out for the next.
Yes, they sold it, and it became a hardware store.
Right.
And I went there recently in the last 6 months. I did an interview, and we went there. And the people were very nice. It was a hardware store, but so many things were the same. The floor.
Yes.
It was the same floor I remember my father had put down, and the ceiling that kind of pressed tin. And I said, can I go in the basement and walk around? Remember the ladies had their changing room down there? There was that enormous ice box down there.
I remember.
And,
all the boxes, I remember. I used to, you know, part of it was kind of folding the boxes and putting them, layering them up.
That's right, folding boxes.
You remember that?
Exactly.
That's in preparation of the big rush.
Exactly. Every time there was a holiday, Easter or whatever, Christmas especially, the boxes of cookies, huh?
The cookies, the stolen, the Pfeffernusser.
But my father was always, besides being a baker, he was very interested in cooking. You know, they would use those ovens for holidays to make turkeys and hams for people and so on.
They did. After the baking was done, and I remember from the back, people would pick up turkeys. And your father was a real hard worker, very conscientious.
24/7,
Right, very, very conscientious. And he was very understanding of the help. He expected things to be done properly, but he would reward. He would always come when we were busy or something. He would, you know, Phil's Deli up the block.
Sure.
Yeah, he would come with lunch for everybody, pastrami sandwiches or whatever. We would all sort of kind of take turns, go in the back, and great memories. So you went back to revisit that.
I did, yeah. My father was the hardest working man I ever met.
Right.
Remember the butcher place right next door, Rennie Zeiler?
Right.
The best meat.
Yes,
He used to put together a hamburger.
But you see, these are the things. These are the things that maybe the neighborhoods are missing. You went to the butcher, you got the best meat. You went to the bakery, you got the best bread. And that was almost a daily activity.
Yeah.
And then the vegetable store further down on the corner.
Absolutely. Out on the street. People would buy their bread fresh every day.
And the rolls.
And the cake fresh, too. Your father used to tell to us girls, if it's something left over at night, divide, give it to the customer, or take home. I don't want to sell the day after what we bake today.
I know.
We never, never sell from one day to the other. Always fresh. And your mother was a very good decorator. She used to come maybe every second day, sometime more, and decorate the window, decorate the store, put all the colors, put all the drapes, anything what she likes, but was very stylish, nice.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Once a week or so, my father would give a huge sack of rolls and stuff to Phil's Delicatessen, which was a marvelous place to get hot dogs and stuff. But Phil would take this big bag of rolls, and he would make stuffing for his, his turkeys and his.
Now, Kenneth is your older brother.
Yes.
Right? And he is in Florida.
He lives in Florida.
Yeah. I haven't seen him in the long. I saw him, I think, once.
Yeah.
Once
when thereafter. You got the occasion, say hello from me. I used to like him. I used to work with him a long time.
I know. He ran the bakery for a while.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, he lives in Florida. And my brother Glenn also.
Glenn, right.
And no, everybody's okay.
Right. And Georgine?
She's very good. Yeah. You know, she's a casting agent.
Yeah. She's great. I speak with her, you know, when I about your mom, and we wanted to go see her, make sure. So we have to get together.
Absolutely. We'll come in the city. We will.
Okay. Just give her my best.
I can't tell you how it's powerful for me to see you both, and both looking so well.
Thank you.
And I watch you on TV together.
Thank you. Thank you for watching, because here I thought I was watching at you all the time.
No, you're watching it. I watch very carefully.
I'm very honored.
And Mom, you are the judge. You made a marvelous, you know, I've never been able to cook lamb. I never get it right.
Lamb
is difficult, huh?
No.
For me.
It's easy.
I always make it, cook it too much, too little. But you made the lamb with olives?
Yes.
Remember?
Yeah.
It works.
The chunks. Did you make it?
Chunks with olives?
Yes.
Absolutely. If you do exactly what you say.
Don't overwork anything. You know, it's.
I always overcook the lamb.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, if you're right, because the lamb, if you get the softer cut.
Gets a little tough.
Yeah. If you get the softer cut, you have to do it like chops or whatever, sear it quickly. Then if you get to the muscle part, then you have to cook it longer, you know, really until it breaks. So it's not in between. Like even pork, there's, you know, I mean.
I've never been able to cook it good.
Right.
I always make it too tough.
Yeah, because, well, you go over. And once you go over, then you have to cook it for hours until it breaks apart.
You mean if you go too far, then cook it even more.
Exactly. Make it like fall apart, like the oxtails that your mother did. So make it fall apart so that you can shred it in the sauce and juice and whatever. But if you want the meat, the whole kind of piece of juicy meat, lamb especially, and pork for that matter, but just the timing of it. Lamb, certainly.
Well, the timing, it's another thing like theater, huh?
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Timing and cooking. You know, it seems to me that if you have good ingredients and you make it simple, but then it's the timing. It's like with fish, a little bit too little. A little bit too much. Yeah. It's not right. Perfect. You have to be perfect with the timing.
Yeah. You have to understand the ingredient and just give it what it needs.
With fish, do you, especially white flaky fish, do you steam?
Oh, I love steaming fish.
Yeah, steam is good.
Steaming fish because, and again, not overcooking it. But if you steam it, one will say, oh, it's bland. But no, you know, you could put a lot of herbs.
Tomato sauce. And,
yeah. No, but even if you steam it like by itself, you put herbs on top of it, you put sliced lemon on top of it, you put capers, and all of that sort of is absorbed in this fish while it's steaming. And it gets a lot of flavor.
It's so easy, though, to go too far, too little, you know?
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, you need to touch it, and when you just see it beginning to flake, that's it. I mean, and each fish is different. You know, you talk about monkfish, that's a tough fish. That's, you know, could cook forever.
You know, this is a real treat, Lydia.
It's my treat.
Arminia. It's a real treat.
I'm very happy to be here and to see you after so many years.
Yes.
You look the same like your father. Yeah.
You have the
My father, I see my father all the time in my dreams.
He was very good and smart man.
Very
good. Nice boss for me.
Well, thank you very much.